Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready. It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. If you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe, which I will raise my hand and admit, I have been horrendous with my IG activity. I need to pick it up. I haven't been on in like 2 weeks. I'm sure BetMGM Network has sent me things to share that I have not yet seen, but I will definitely pick up my Instagram activity. You can also find the entire show at You Better You Bet on Twitter and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. If you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find us. We got the crew hanging with us here on this Wednesday, hump day. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Ha, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on Sunday's Eagles-Vikings game that I think is incredibly fascinating. One side of the equation, you have Philly's offensive woes after back-to-back losses. And on the other side of the equation, who's starting at quarterback for the Vikings? Kevin O'Connell just met with the media moments ago saying, this week, both quarterbacks J.J. McCarthy and Carson Wentz will be getting first-team reps. An interesting situation brewing in the Twin Cities, and Nick will talk about it coming up at 4 o'clock. But as always, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form, because we're going to get to a lot. Obviously, talking the National Football League, baseball with both series 2-0 in favor of the team that did not have the home field advantage. We'll see game 3 later on tonight in Seattle. Also, we're going to get to some college football. If you miss anything, check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, the least you can do is to subscribe, rate, and review. I mean, we are delivering on-demand content, like not even to your doorstep, to your ear. On-demand content. The least you can do is to subscribe, rate, and review. We have three guests who will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Odyssey NFL insider analyst for NFL Network and Compass Media, Brian Baldinger, Baldy, with his weekly Wednesday spot to give us the film perspective on what we should expect to see in week 7 in the NFL. And then to begin the Power Hour at 6 o'clock Eastern time, college football insider for On3 Sports, America's college football insider, our buddy Brett McMurphy, checks in with us here as we get set for the week 8 slate in college football. Dude, college football, it flies, man. I tell you what, I know it feels like we've seen a lot. We still have a second half of the season to go, but with all the NFL stuff and like the NFL season so long, 18 weeks, college football, like we're 2 weeks away from November, the final week of the regular season. Like, it's pretty wild how college football flies, but we'll check in with Brett McMurphy at 6 Eastern. And then at 6:20 Eastern, joining us for his weekly Wednesday spot is the co-host of First Things First on FS1, Danny Parkins, will give us his take on all the biggest matchups this upcoming weekend in the NFL. And Are the Bears turning the corner? Or shall I say, did they turn the corner this past Monday night in their win over the Washington Commanders? But I think it's important to note right now as we start the show off here today on this fine Wednesday, we are a third of the way through the NFL season. And I know it feels like we've seen a lot. We've seen 6 weeks already. We all have our takes. Maybe we've changed our opinions on one team, or maybe we've kind of just been like reaffirmed our opinions on another team. But we're only a third of the way through the season. But I do think it's a good time to kind of take inventory on where things stand. Because, I mean, think about all the storylines that we've had so far in this NFL season. I mean, you got the Baker Mayfield MVP buzz, which we'll talk about later on at 3:40 when we get into our NFL awards segment. Shane Steichen and Indiana Jones with the Colts and what they've been doing at 5-1, best record in the AFC. You got the Rodgers resurgence in Pittsburgh, the NFC North gauntlet with all four teams above 500, the Gen Z Giants with Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo. So many fun storylines throughout the NFL. But here's where the fun stops. Here's where the spoiler begins. Because I am going to tell you, as we are a third of the way through the season, who the 14 playoff teams will be this January. Today, on October 15th, I know the 14 teams who will be in the upcoming NFL playoffs. And I want to start in the AFC because the AFC, I think, is a lot more interesting than the NFC in terms of who's going to make the playoffs. I don't know what's going to happen once we get there. Like, I have sneaking suspicions about who might win the Super Bowl, who can win multiple playoff games, et cetera, et cetera. But I just want to do the exercise. Who are the 14 teams you believe will make the playoffs? Not the teams that are in there right now, the teams that you think will get there once the dust settles after 18 weeks. And we'll go division by division, and of course we can get to the wild card teams as well. And in the AFC, we'll start with the East. I do think that Buffalo will hang on to win this division. The last couple of weeks have been bad. I think everyone has been downgrading the Bills as they should have been over these last couple of weeks. I mean, heck, you could have downgraded the Bills off of their performance against the Dolphins, honestly, knowing what we know about that team right now and where they stand. But Buffalo, still really good. They still have a quarterback who is that dude in Josh Allen. And I think, despite all the defensive woes, the defensive inefficiencies, I think that Josh Allen can carry the Bills to the finish line to at least win the AFC East for another season. Like, Drake May and those guys are coming, and we'll get into them a little bit here. But I think the Bills are your AFC East winner. Now let's get spicy. The AFC North. Right now, your first place team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think they're going to win the division. I do think we see the Baltimore Ravens go on the run post bye week. I'm not giving up on Baltimore. Not yet. I need to see this team fully formed and healthy before I give up on the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone's dumping all the mud on the Ravens, burying the Ravens, putting them 6 feet under. No, because outside of Patrick Mahomes, I actually think the Ravens have the best player in the league in Lamar Jackson. He means so much to that Ravens team. Look at the performance he had last year with the 40-plus touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Just a ridiculous performance statistically. This dude is a multiple-time MVP. Outside of Mahomes, you can argue Lamar or Josh or Lamar or Burrow, whatever you want to do, but in my opinion, outside of Mahomes, Lamar Jackson is the best player in football. And we've seen teams that kind of have these bye weeks that are early in the season, get things corrected. I mean, just last year, and I don't think it's going to go like this for the Ravens, but just last year, the Philadelphia Eagles had that early bye week. Sirianni was on the hot seat. If they lost another game, there was rumors they were going to hire Belichick. He shaved his head. All the things was going on, and they rallied around it, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. I don't think the Ravens are winning the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to rally around Lamar Jackson coming back, Roquan Smith coming back, all these defensive players that have been injured. They're going to get healthy, and I think Baltimore is going to go on the run and win the AFC North. They're right now, the win total, 8.5. I think they can go 10-7 after this 1-5 start. I do think they are that highly rated and that good of a team on paper. They got to do it when they actually play, but the Ravens are legitimate. I like Baltimore over the win total, and I think Friday morning, because we'll get into Pittsburgh here a little bit later on, I think Pittsburgh is going to win tomorrow night. But Friday morning is when you want to bet the Ravens to win the AFC North. That is a bet that I will be placing once the Steelers beat the Cincinnati Bengals. The AFC South, to me, it's pretty simple. The class of the division is Shane Steichen, Daniel Jones, and the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, Steichen, I mean, heck, he's probably going to be at least a finalist for Coach of the Year, if not the winner. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. The Colts will be your AFC South champion. The AFC West, I mean, it's the Chiefs, right? for the umpteenth straight year. It's Kansas City. I think if they get by the Buffalo Bills, though, in a couple of weeks, I actually think Kansas City might go on a serious run here, too. Now, Rashee Rice is coming back from suspension this week. They play the Raiders. That should be an easy victory for KC. But they play the Bills in a couple of weeks. If they can get by that game, why can't they go 13-4? Hell, why can't they run the table and go 14-3? I think there's a realistic shot that Kansas City might be your one seed. And with that opinion, we talked about it yesterday on the show, but I do think there's still a lot of value left because the price is still the same. You need to bet some more Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. Did it last week before they beat the Detroit Lions. Did it again last night with Kansas City at plus 650 to win the Super Bowl. I think this team is probably your one or your two seed in the AFC. This offense is ready to go nuclear, and I think this team is going to be there in the end because in an AFC that's looking pretty weak, give me the best head coach, give me the best quarterback, give me the best defensive coordinator, give me the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl at plus 650. All right, now let's get to the wild cards because this is where we're going to even get some even more spicy after what we have seen so far through 6 weeks. Now, your five seed, pretty self-explanatory to me at least. I think it's going to be New England. Schedule is easy. Barring health, they should be there. The sixth seed, I have the Chargers. Now, injuries, of course, are a problem, but they still have Jim Harbaugh. They still have Justin Herbert. The infrastructure, in my opinion, is too good. The Chargers are your sixth seed. The seventh seed, surprise. They've sucked me back in, folks. The Houston Texans. I think the Houston Texans will make the playoffs. I think this final seven seed will come down to Denver and Houston. Both of these teams have elite defenses, but I trust one quarterback a hell of a lot more than I trust the other one, and that being CJ Stroud over Bo Nix. Houston, with their elite defense, and I think they're going to lose Monday night, so like, there's no rush to make this bet for the Texans to make the playoffs. But Tuesday morning, after they lose to the Seahawks in the Pacific Northwest, that is the bye point on the Houston Texans to make the AFC playoffs. Schedule's not too daunting, and with that defense, I think they can carry them to January, where with CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, they've made the playoffs, and they've made the second round of the playoffs in back-to-back years. I don't see why they can't do it again here this season in 2025. So my AFC playoff teams, obviously, have Buffalo, Baltimore, Indy, KC, New England, the Chargers, and the Houston Texans, which leaves out the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I think most people would be like, hey, how do you not have Pittsburgh in there? They're 4-1. They're the two seed right now. You know the quarterbacks that the Steelers have beaten so far this season? Justin Fields, who just got sacked 9 times and completed 9 balls overseas in London. Carson Wentz, LOL. Dylan Gabriel. Now, there's one that's missing. They beat Drake May. But go back and watch that game. As fluky as a result as you will find with the 5 turnovers from the New England Patriots, I don't think the Steelers have beaten anyone. I think the Steelers are just very, very mediocre. 15th in offensive success rate. 17th in defensive success rate. The upcoming schedule for Pittsburgh at the Bengals tomorrow night should win that game. Home Packers, hello, Rodgers versus the old team. Home Indianapolis, I think the Colts are flat out better than them. At the Chargers, I think the Chargers are better than them. Home Bengals should be able to win that one. At the Bears, toss-up game. I mean, if Caleb continues to take steps forward, Ben Johnson, who knows? Maybe they lose at Chicago. Home Buffalo, Buffalo's better. At Baltimore, Baltimore's better. Home Miami, yeah, Miami stinks. At Detroit, LOL. At the Browns, they'll beat the Browns. Then home Ravens. I don't think that we're going to see this glorious, oh, like Steelers 12-5, 13. No, I think they're going to go like 8-9 or 9-8 at best. And I don't think that's going to be good enough to make the AFC playoffs. This team collapses. Friday morning, I will be betting Steelers to miss the playoffs. Right now, it's plus 240. If they win Thursday tomorrow night, probably going to be like, what, plus 350, maybe plus 400. That will be a bet for me on the Steelers. The Jaguars, I don't think they're good enough. Plus 185. That's a bet right now for the Jags to miss the playoffs. And then Denver, after this weekend, because I think they're going to beat the Giants, although it might be an ugly game, plus 240 on the Broncos to miss the playoffs. Don't need to bet it now. Let's just wait for them to beat the Giants, and we can do it Monday morning when we wake up. The NFC. This one's a little bit of a faster conversation because I think the 7 teams who are currently in the playoff picture in the NFC will be the 7 teams that make it there come January. I think the Eagles hang on to win the East. Now, I don't think the ceiling is high until they fundamentally change something with their offensive philosophy. But right now, I got to give it to the Eagles. On paper, they're still the best team. I do think the Lions win the North. And at plus 150, that is a bet for me. Detroit to win the North over Green Bay. Schedule is not easy, but it's manageable. Offense, defense, consistency, coaching, they have it all above all the other teams in the NFC North. So I do like Detroit at plus 150. Tampa, they're minus 400. That's the correct price. They're going to win the South. And I do think the Rams, who are currently your favorites to win the West, will win the West because they have a head coach quarterback combination that I trust and a defense that is absolutely sick. And my wild cards, Green Bay, a lot of talent. Seattle, defense is awesome. Sam Darnold quietly playing like the best quarterback in the league. And then finally, this might surprise some people, but it's not going to surprise the betting market. They're minus 350 to make the playoffs. That's the San Francisco 49ers as your seventh seed. The offense will get healthy, and the offense will be amazing when they do. Defensively, it's going to be put together with some duct tape. But the Niners, I think, have just good enough coaching and offensive infrastructure to make the postseason. So there you have it, your 14 playoff teams this 2025 NFL season. Hey, we got to get this thing down, baby. I think we will get it down. And I think there are some awesome bets to be made heading into next week. All right, we're just getting started. We'll get to the top stories from around the world of sports next here on YBYB.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebfe hanging with you guys this Wednesday afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on an intriguing game this Sunday in the NFL. We have the Eagles at the Vikings. Philadelphia coming off of back-to-back losses. They have their issues offensively. And then Minnesota, which a short while ago, Kevin O'Connell meeting with the Minnesota media, telling them that, hey, Carson Wentz and J.J. McCarthy are going to be getting reps at practice this week. So we don't know what's going to happen with this Vikings quarterback situation, but I think it makes it a fascinating betting market and a fascinating game where right now the Eagles over at BetMGM still a 2-point road favorite in that contest with a total sitting at 43.5. So that's where things stand with the Eagles and the Vikings. Nick will rap about that and many other things to begin the 4 o'clock hour. Later on in 20 minutes here during the 3 o'clock hour, we'll get into some NFL awards with MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. MVP is getting all the buzz, but OPOI is where we are thriving, folks. How about our guy, JSN? Now, among the favorites after last week being sitting there at 15-1. So we'll talk about Offensive Player of the Year coming up in the next segment. But joining me right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing on this fine Wednesday, buddy?
We're doing okay, Femi. We're going to cross our fingers here for this headline segment because about 2 minutes before we went to air, I had a smoke detector go off in my house. There's no fire.
Oh boy.
Everything seems to be fine. But
okay, that's good.
Yeah, if we start hearing some obnoxious beeping, though, while you're talking, though, we know what's going on here. We may have a malfunctioning smoke detector.
All right. Well, hey, I can carry the headlines as well if need be. So if we'll be on standby as long as the smoke detector's all good. It'll be business as usual. But if things get all crazy, well, then, hey, we got to do what we got to do. So we'll keep that in mind moving forward here. But let's go ahead and get into the top stories that we have here on this Wednesday, because there's a lot to get to now that we're sitting here in the month of August or October, yeah. I should say.
Month of October. August, there's not much to get to. October, there's a lot to get to, Femi. And we're going to start on the diamond because the Dodgers are cruising. They win game 2 last night, 5-1. Over the Milwaukee Brewers in the NLCS. Yamamoto, a complete game, only allowed 4 base runners, had just an outstanding performance. Hernandez homers, Muncy homers. Femi, the Dodgers are up 2 games to nothing in this one. and now the series heads back to Los Angeles. This one may be a short one.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like it. In the betting market, you look at the series price right now after two games, the Dodgers minus 1,400 to win the series, and you have the Brewers at plus 900. Now, I think there's still intrigue from a betting standpoint, game to game. Like, oh, can the Brewers win this game? Or what do you think of the total? Which, speaking of the total, I mean, so I bet over 7 at minus 125 last night. I said, hey, you know what? Like, we could get some runs. I was obviously dead wrong about Yamamoto. He brought his stuff on the road. But, like, Peralta, you know, he was giving it up a little bit. And the Brewers' bullpen wasn't that much better. However, the Dodgers, who I shouldn't be mad at the Dodgers because they did their part of this over 7 minus 125. The Brewers were the real culprits here and why I didn't cash my ticket. But I'll say this about the Dodgers. So many opportunities to absolutely blow the game open. And they didn't do it. Shohei Ohtani, bases loaded. I'm just going to strike out. Another opportunity with the bases loaded with like nobody out. And then they pop up and then ground into a double play. I'm like, dude, like, are we for real? We couldn't get one or two across the board. I had just taken one just to push. You know, give me 6-1. At least I don't lose money. Like, I was not on tilt because I was like, you know what? Like, it was not a big bet. It was like a small unit bet for me. Like, hey, like, let's just have something to sweat the game. But still, it was very, very annoying losing over 7 in that contest with so many base runners for the Dodgers. The Dodgers left 10 on base. That'll tell you the story right there. But luckily for them, it didn't matter because Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he was that guy. I mean, I didn't think somebody was going to one-up Blake Snell, especially didn't think it was going to happen the very next night. Like, we're talking about Blake Snell. Here's 8 innings and 10 strikeouts. How about a complete game with 7 strikeouts? And the fact that the first pitch that Yamamoto threw was Jackson Chourio taking him deep. After that, he completely settled in. Just walked one batter. He was so locked in. And I do love, because the broadcast was talking about it last night. Like, hey, like, is Dave Roberts going to put him out there for the ninth? You know, like, you know, with that 100 pitch mark, you know, we usually pull guys at that point. Let's see what happens. Dave Roberts didn't flinch. He said, you know what? Why do we need to go out there to our risky bullpen? Let's just throw the starter out there who continues to dominate. And Yamamoto finished the job. And the biggest concern about the Dodgers heading into the postseason, it was the bullpen. But if the starting pitching is going to be doing this and limit the bullpen's participation in these playoff games, how do they lose? You know, like, the lineup is awesome. You know, Muncy's finding his way. Teoscar Hernandez is doing his thing. Just wait until Shohei Ohtani wakes up. Because Ohtani's just been swinging at anything. That dude has zero plate discipline right now. You can tell he's a little bit frustrated batting 147. Like, this lineup is ridiculous. And if the starting pitching can do this, it is absolute curtains for the Brewers and for whoever comes out of the American League, probably my beloved Seattle Mariners. I don't think anyone's competing with this team. But if you can get to the bullpen, maybe you got a chance. But it doesn't appear the Brewers can do that, which means series is over, game, set, match. To the Dodgers, who are likely headed to the World Series. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, you just said it. Your beloved Seattle Mariners, they are playing tonight on FS1, 8 p.m. Eastern, against the Blue Jays. Mariners up 2-0. Next 3 here in Seattle tonight, it's going to be Shane Bieber for the Jays, George Kirby for the M's. Mariners are minus 130. Total runs, Femi, over at BetMGM, set at 7.
Yeah, I think the Mariners are going to win the game tonight. Now, does that mean I want to bet minus 130? I already have the Mariners to win the pennant. Bet them at 10-1 during the night of the trade deadline. So I don't think I really need to double down on this game here. But I've had no money invested. I would actually bet Seattle. I think Toronto losing those two games has to be devastating at home. And game 2 wasn't even close. The Mariners' bats are alive. Like, that lineup, 3, 4, 5, those guys all hit home runs in game 2. I think you see them carry that confidence and that swagger into this game 3, which is going to be an absolute madhouse in the Pacific Northwest. Like, that fan base has never been this close. Like 95 was as close as they got losing in game 6 to the Cleveland Indians back then. Like, that's as close as they have ever been to a World Series. And now that they have this and they can taste it with 3 games to win 2 in Seattle, it's going to be a raucous environment. I don't think the Blue Jays handle it all that well. I think Seattle feeds off of that energy. The bats come alive. And the pitching, which has really shown itself so far in October, that's the big thing. Because that was my concern. It was like, hey, can this pitching staff play to their pedigree? Can they do what they've done in years past? Because this past season, it wasn't that great because these guys were all dealing with little injuries here and there, whether it was Gilbert or Kirby. Brian Wu's been dealing with injuries right now. Who's been the best pitcher for the Mariners? We haven't seen him yet in October. But if this pitching staff can be what they used to be like a couple of years ago, I think this team has all the makings, and I think the Mariners close this door really quickly. Unfortunately, from a drama standpoint, I don't think we're going to get it in the LCS, but maybe, just maybe, if the Mariners are up for it, we get it in the World Series. But they win tonight, and they win this series. This is a quick one in the Northwest. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Well, Femi, let's switch over to the NFL because Puka Nacua is dealing with that foot injury that he suffered last Sunday. While the Rams and Sean McVay are being non-committal on his availability this Sunday against Jacksonville, we've heard he's questionable, we've heard he's day-to-day, but according to some of the NFL's top insiders, especially with this game in London and a bye the following week, they're considering Puka Nacua more doubtful than questionable to play this week.
Yeah, this just seems like the smart thing to do for the Los Angeles Rams. Like, of course you'd want Puka Nacua out there. He's one of the best offensive players in the NFL, one of the best receivers in the NFL. But with a bye week on deck after coming back from London, why not give him the extra week? And that's not to say that this is like a throwaway game, because it's certainly not when you look at the NFC West standings. I think the Rams are going to win the division, but if they lose this game, you get the Niners with some of their like issues with injuries, but what if they get hot on offense? You obviously have the Seattle Seahawks, who are kind of like breathing down the Rams' neck. They're also a favorite Monday night's contest against Houston. So like, this can't be a throwaway game for the Rams, but I do believe they're going to kind of have cooler heads prevail and say, you know what, Puka, let's just have you chill for a little bit and let's take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Which I actually think creates a betting opportunity for us on the Los Angeles Rams. So right now, over at BetMGM, the Rams are 3-102. I see some 3 even money out there in the market as well. There's not a whole lot of 2.5 out there. There's no 2.5 that's out there, because I think once it gets down to 2.5, people are going to bet the Rams. That's what I want to do. I want to bet the Rams -2.5. So if that pops at some point when Nacua is officially ruled out, I'm assuming going to be on Friday. Let's see if what the betting market does. I will be on the other side to go out there and bet the Los Angeles Rams under a field goal in the London game, which has not done me too well. Bet the Browns a couple weeks ago, bet the Broncos last week, but damn it, third time's a charm. Let's go with the Ramley in London. Bill, it appears we have a development with your situation over there, buddy.
We do. Yeah, we had I was quick with the mute button. Hopefully it didn't interrupt you too much. We have decided to dissect the smoke detector. We ripped the batteries out. I don't know if this thing's getting back up on the ceiling, but yeah, we're done with this thing. So.
Okay, hey, that's one way to do it. You know, it keeps beeping, rip the sucker out.
That's right.
That's what you got to do.
That's the only way this segment was going to work. So let's stick with the NFL here, Femi. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, because they host the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. You were talking about it there in the opening segment. Big injury to monitor here for Cincinnati is Trey Hendrickson. Now, he has not practiced the first 2 days of the week with that hip injury. We're still waiting an official word from Cincinnati today on him. When we get one, we'll make sure to pass that along whenever that is during the body of the show. But Femi, obviously, Bengals are hoping Hendrickson can give it a go tomorrow night. They have any chance to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously need him to keep this game competitive. But if he doesn't play, I do believe we will get a betting opportunity on Cincinnati. Now, the betting market is hanging out at 5.5. That's where it's been for much of the week. There were some 4.5 at open. Those immediately got bet up to 5, 5.5. And we've been kind of hanging out there over the last like 36 hours or so. But I do see at one sports book, we are down to 4.5. So I don't know if that's somebody who has information that Hendrickson is going to play or just genuine interest in the Cincinnati Bengals. To me, I have genuine interest in the Cincinnati Bengals. Or I guess a better way to phrase it would be genuine interest in fading the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, it didn't work out, obviously, last Sunday, taking +6 with the Browns and their red zone, like, just nonsense that they were doing, taking sacks left and right, my guy Dylan Gabriel. But like, in this game, short week, home team, home underdog in a division game, like, these are games that tend to be a little bit more competitive than people think. And if there's ever a time to fade Mike Tomlin, it's when everyone's patting his team on the back and everyone's talking about how the Pittsburgh Steelers are so good. This is like the Tomlin nightmare spot. Tomlin, big road favorite. You love Tomlin as a home dog. Oh, that's the time to bet the hell out of Mike Tomlin. All right, everyone against us, backs against the wall. Nobody believes. Now people are believing. They're talking about the 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, did you know the Steelers are the favorites to win the AFC North? All of that conversation. I think this is a chance where the Steelers might actually lay a dud. Those of you in Survivor, be careful. Those of you just looking to bet, I think it's Bengals or pass. I would love a 6, but I might even get there at 5.5. Check back with me tomorrow on game day, Thursday Night Football. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, staying in the NFL, Washington Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin has not played since September 21st, but Dan Quinn says McLaurin will practice all this week, and if all goes well, he could be in line to play this Sunday against your Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, pretty clean injury report for both teams in this contest. Terry McLaurin back for the Commanders on the practice field, CeeDee Lamb and Kevontae Turpin back on the practice field for the Dallas Cowboys, and that's why the total is as high as 55.5. This total is insane, but are you looking to bet the under? I'm not in particular. I will say this, though, about the side, because I think the side actually makes a lot of sense. Like, Commanders 2-point favorite. They should be a short favorite on the road. I think the Commanders are just going to win the game because they're just better than Dallas. You know, like the Cowboys, like the worst unit on the field by far is the Dallas defense. And I know Jerry Jones was on with our guys down in Dallas, 105 through the fan, our Odyssey station down there, talking about how, hey, like, you know, we're still in it and maybe we have the assets to go out there and make a move for a defensive player, LOL. Like, come on, man. I think the whole thing just sounds ridiculous. And he keeps talking about adding these defensive players. Well, they're not adding anybody before Sunday's game. And if that's the case, and it's McLaurin back with Jaden Daniels, and this offense that's coming off of a bad loss now getting to play in ideal conditions in Jerry World, like, that to me bodes very, very well for the Washington Commanders. So for me, from a betting standpoint, I'm probably not going to get to the window, but if I did have to bet it, it would be on the Washington Commanders side. It would not be taking the one or the 1.5 or two with the Dallas Cowboys. I wouldn't even tease Dallas either. Games with these totals like this that are so high, like, those are ones we want to stay away from. Those can get a little bit volatile. Maybe one of the teams wins by 10 or whatever. So I think it's Commanders or pass. For me right now, it's pass. But if we get down to like a pick 'em and there's genuine interest on the Cowboys, I'll be on the other side taking command and getting to the window with Jaden Daniels. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
Well, Femi, the Florida Gators, who sit at just 2-4, face the 4-2 Mississippi State Bulldogs this Saturday. There are a lot of rumors that Billy Napier's seat is a burning bonfire. It's not just hot. This is a huge game for Florida if Napier wants to keep his job.
Yeah, I don't know. Regardless of results, I think it might just be over for Billy Napier. Like, when the money starts to talk, that is when people start making moves. And it sounds like the money down there in Gainesville is talking. This USA Today report saying that influential, like, boosters are saying that they don't know how much of financial backing they can give unless something fundamentally changes within the program. Like, what do you think that means? Like, it's firing the head coach. I think Billy Napier might be going into his last game as Florida Gators head coach, regardless the result. But because we can bet on it, the Gators 9.5 at home, I might plug my nose and let's go with the Mississippi State. Clang up, baby. And let's go ahead and keep this game competitive down there in the swamp. Let's break down some NFL awards on the other side. It's You Better You Bet coming at you here on a Wednesday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Wednesday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebfe hanging with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Costos with his thoughts on this Sunday's Eagles-Vikings game. Philadelphia looking to get back into the win column, and the Vikings coming off of the bye. Who's starting at quarterback? Kevin O'Connell? He's playing at coy. He's not letting anybody know. He wants the Eagles to have to prepare for both J.J. McCarthy and Carson Wentz. So Nick will talk about that game and more to begin the 4 o'clock hour. But as it is a Wednesday, sitting here at 3:40 Eastern, it's time to break down the NFL awards landscape heading into week 7 of the regular season. And as we usually do on Wednesdays, let's hit the biggest ones: MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. And we'll start with the MVP, because this week it's really interesting. Not necessarily from a betting standpoint, but it's interesting because for the first time all season, We have a new favorite. And for the first time since the markets opened, like way back in April or March, we have a new favorite in Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes is sitting at plus 200 after we saw the Chiefs beat the Detroit Lions on Sunday night. And on Monday night, we saw the Buffalo Bills suffer a second consecutive loss, this time at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. So, as we always do, we analyze the favorite and we ask ourselves the question, does this make sense? Can this player actually win? Yeah, man. Like, Mahomes has won the award twice already. Why can't he win? Like, the Chiefs, although right now, from a team success standpoint, they don't really check all the boxes for producing an MVP. And that's like a big point to put out there, because Kansas City, while we all love them, right now, they're actually on the playoff picture. They're on the outside looking in. They're like the eighth seed right now in the AFC. Now, I don't think anybody believes that's what's going to be the case once we get to December and January. But, you know, it is worth noting that Kansas City is not even in the playoffs if the season ended today. Luckily for them, it doesn't. But Kansas City right now over at BetMGM, their updated win total is 10.5. They're 6-1 to be the one seed. And usually the path to the MVP is being the quarterback on the one or the two seed. You need to be a top two seed, preferably the one, but the two seed is okay, as we saw Josh Allen win it as the two seed last season. Statistically, Mahomes is pretty good. I wouldn't say he's like elite or anything like that, but he's pretty good. You know, 10th in EPA per play, 4th in the QBR, which is really, really high. But the pedigree is there. And I think why the betting market is bullish on Mahomes is the projection. I think that's the big thing that I think a lot of people need to grasp with this market, because I've seen a lot of conversation of, oh, how is Mahomes the favorite to win MVP? I mean, if you held a vote right now, it'd be Baker Mayfield. Yeah, man, but the votes are not due until January. So, like, we can't just look at what's going on right now. We have to project forward. And Mahomes has already been playing at a very, very high level, at an MVP level. And now he's about to get his best wide receiver back. So, like, from a projection standpoint, what do you think is going to happen? Now, you at home listening and watching, you might think to yourself, well, I don't think Kansas City is going to rip off all these wins. Best case scenario for the Chiefs, 11-6. And if you're right, I don't think he wins the MVP. I think they find somebody else to give the award to. But as it stands right now, and I'm kicking myself, because prior to the Ravens game, I looked at the Mahomes price of 20-1, 22-1, and said, you know what? Is there something to do here? But, you know, they had the Ravens on deck. They had the Lions on deck. Who knows how those games would have gone? If you click those games, if you click the Mahomes MVP button and they lose both of those games, like, you know, you're bleep out of luck. the bet's over. You lose. Luckily for those of you who did bet that, they won both those games. And now he's squarely in the conversation and he's leading the conversation when you think about it from a projection standpoint. Now, he dethroned, at least currently dethroned, last year's MVP in Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, who is now plus 275 over at BetMGM. Buffalo, despite the two losses, still has a very high win total, 11.5 at the sportsbook where we make it legendary. They are plus 275 to be the one seed. So you see there the correlation. Like, Allen's MVP price and the Bills to be the one seed is the same exact thing. The betting market's kind of hip to what's going on here with these awards. Allen, though, statistically, has taken a little bit of a step back over these last couple of games. And the thing that hurts Allen right now is that these two games were both in primetime and everyone was watching. It was the Patriots loss and the Falcons loss. And now Josh Allen is 9th in EPA per play and he's 13th in QBR. That doesn't really scream MVP, but what he has working for him is that the rest of his teammates are not very good. And that might sound counterintuitive, but, like, hang with me here. Because if the Bills were to ever, like, be 12-5 or 13-4, which is realistic when you look at their schedule, I mean, the story of Allen dragging this mediocre team to the two seed or to the one seed, it's hard to beat that. So Josh Allen, even though it feels like, oh, he's not going to win, his time was last year, no, he's still very much in the picture. I actually think the winner of this award is going to end up coming down to who wins the game in a couple of weeks here, Chiefs at the Bills. I think that team's going to be having a lot of momentum coming out of that game. That's going to be such a high-profile game. It's going to shape the conversation for this award for the second half of the season. The winner of that game will have a very nice advantage on the other guy to winning the MVP this season. So that's a biggie. Let's see what happens when we get there. But if these teams stay healthy, that's going to go a long way in deciding who wins the award. A couple other guys to mention, obviously Baker Mayfield. We talked about him a lot last week. He's plus 350. He's been the story of the NFL through 6 weeks. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think Tampa's going to get the one seed, and they're plus 325 to get it. So like, there's not like it's out of the realm of possibility that they would be the one seed. But if you look at the way Tampa's been playing, and I know like I'm more bullish on Tampa than Nick is, because I think once they get healthy, they can really start to take off. But a lot of it has been very high leverage situations going their way. And as well as Mayfield is playing, he's not putting up like the gaudy numbers in terms of like the efficiency and advanced stuff. Like he's seventh in EPA per play, which is obviously really good, but that's not really like the tip of the top MVP. He's eighth in QBR. That's pretty good, but not tip of the top MVP caliber. So he's not elite in either statistical category. And also too, he's just not as good as Mahomes and Josh Allen. And there's something to be said for that. Call it a bias, call it whatever you want. Like usually for an MVP, you got to be in that class. And Baker Mayfield, this is a nice, fun 3 week story, but a month from now, what's everyone going to be saying? So that's why I'm a little bit cautious with Mayfield. Another guy to bring up, which this one, I don't think is going to get home, but if there's a weird winner, maybe it's this guy. And that's New England Patriots quarterback Drake May, who's currently 18-1. The Patriots win total is at 10.5 right now. They're 10-1 to be the one seed. May is third in EPA per play. He's seventh in QBR. So in terms of EPA per play, he's pretty elite. And the schedule is really what sets up nicely for the New England Patriots. They have a chance to be 12-5, 13-4. If they ever got the one seed, Drake May, second year quarterback, shiny new object, I could see people being like, okay, he has arrived. The Patriots have their dude, and Drake May is one of the elite QBs we have in the NFL. I would not bet 18-1 because I don't think they're going to win the division, but that's just one where I think that if it's not Mahomes or Allen, I actually think you get a weird winner or an off-the-beaten-path winner, and I think Drake May would be that guy. So that's where things stand right now with the MVP. Mahomes is the favorite. I think he should be the favorite when you look to project this thing forward on what this Chiefs offense could become, which what this team might become as well if they play offense at that high of a level. Offensive player of the year, it's a little bit of a shorter conversation, a conversation that we love here on You Better You Bet. All the guys that we've been talking about all season long, they're at the top of the odds board. This is fun. Colts running back Jonathan Taylor, plus 175 a few weeks ago. It might have been a month ago where we talked about Jonathan Taylor at 15-1. Well, he's now the favorite over at BetMGM after Puka Nacua suffered the ankle injury last Sunday. Makes sense. He leads the league in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. The team, win total of 11.5, minus 150 to win the division. Individual success, team success, pedigree, it's all there with Jonathan Taylor. So, like, there's nobody to bet, I think, in this market now that things have kind of shuffled to where they've gone. Bijan Robinson, talked about him in August at Bijan Robinson around 15-16-1. He's now plus 350. He's third in the league in rushing yards, and he's already had his bye week. He had an insane game in primetime against the Buffalo Bills. The problem with Bijan, though, is that his team success might not be there. And I'm actually skeptical that the Falcons are going to make the playoffs. So that's where I think he might come up short with this award. But luckily for us, we have Jaxon Smith-Njigba. JSN plus 450 has an updated win total of 10.5 on that Seahawks team. The NFC West price plus 250. So it's within shouting distance. But JSN now leads the league in receiving yards. And it's what we brought up last week. We said, hey, look at the receiving yardage leaderboard. Puka Nacua is number one, but not too far off of him is JSN. Why are the prices this big of a difference? Bet JSN last week, he's now among the favorites. And that leads us to Puka Nacua, who I think is probably going to be sight unseen over these next couple of weeks at plus 550. Unlikely to play on Sunday. Rams have their bye week the next week. Maybe there's an opportunity to buy some Nacua afterwards, but as it stands right now, I would never bet that. But things are going according to plan with OPOI and are priced appropriately, which leads us to defensive player of the year, where the favorite right now is Lions edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson, who is at 3-1. Detroit has an 11.5 win total, minus 350 to make the playoffs. Hutchinson statistically has been awesome. 6 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles. He's an absolute stud. The problem, though, is that nobody really thinks about their defense as like one of those units. And usually to win DPOY, you kind of have to come from one of those units. They're 20th. Defensive EPA per play, So I'm like, I get it. The sacks were there, but I'm not really there on Aiden Hutchinson. The guy that I really like, and I mean, call me crazy or call me old man yelling at the clouds, but for a third consecutive week, I don't understand why Jared Verse is 20-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. Like, that to me is way too big of a price. I think he should be around like 8-1, 7-1. He is a stud. Like, 3 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, was awesome in the game against the Ravens this past Sunday. And most importantly, his team is awesome defensively. The Rams, 4th in the NFL in defensive EPA per play. So if you're looking for a guy that could join the likes of a Nick Bonito or a Micah Parsons, or even if you really think that Hutchinson can do it being on a unit that's not that great defensively, I think the Jared Verse price should be much closer to those guys than it is some of the guys that he's hanging out with. Like, TJ Watt has a shorter price to win DPOY than Jared Verse. Make that make sense to me. Honestly, it does not whatsoever. So Verse, for a third consecutive week, if you haven't gotten the opportunity to get down, I keep betting this thing. Like, he's going to be my favorite person by the end of 2025. I think Jared Verse is much, much more alive than the betting market indicates and is still a bet to be made heading into week 7. On the other side, we'll hear from Nick Kostos on Sunday's intriguing matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.